Good morning, church. Thank you for joining us this morning as we come together and worship God. Please stand with me and worship through song.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Please be seated.
Good morning, EBC. Whew. My announcements are super long, so just sit back, relax. This is going to take a little bit. I'll try to talk slow because my dad says I talk too fast, but I get it from him. I'm just going to tell you a story. Victory in Jesus. I remember being a little girl here at Emmanuel in the back where there were still pews, and we would be singing that, flipping through, and we'd always flip through and find all the songs, and we were thought we were so cool. So I'm sitting here with these kids up here today, and to listen to them sing Victory in Jesus, like when I was a little kid singing Victory in Jesus, was super cool. So that's something to be thankful for today. All right, well, welcome online. Welcome in here. I'm so glad everybody is here. Slow down. I know. Slow down. Okay, we would like to invite you guys to Sunday school. We have awesome classes all throughout, all ages, and we would love for you guys to come. Church council has been canceled for this week. It's next week because the deacons' wives are meeting this week in Pastor Cliff's office. So church council, Deacons' wives, you're on. All right. No Savior Stretch on Monday. That is canceled. Oh, Wednesday nights, Richard Hazelwood is going to start The Chosen Season 2 at 6:30. That's going to be every Wednesday. We're going to start doing that. So, Quilt Group at 10 o'clock on Thursday. Disaster Relief Training here at EBC on Saturday, April the 13th. This is where I should have brought my glasses. Okay, it's sign up and receive practical training in specialty areas of disaster relief, which provides a platform by which you and your team can project the gospel to those in need. These are training classes being offered. Chaplaincy, childcare, chainsaw, fire recovery, assessment, flood recovery, feeding, communications, evangelism, shower and laundry, quick rapid response. So if you have the heart for any of these things, we would really love to have you, and you can sign up, and Saturday would be when you would be here. I'm not done yet. I got more. All right. And this is all ladies. I see all these beautiful ladies here. You are invited to Priority Conference in Springfield on April the 26th and 27th. It would be a great time. I bet you can talk to Lisa. She would know a lot about it, and she would be able to help you get set up. Now, according to the kids, John, Steve Harding, you can come on down because they like to know, know him by Steve, but they love to call him John. He is going to lead us in prayer today.
Good morning. And Teresa, I remembered my glasses this time, though. Yeah, I just want to point out a couple things on our prayer sheet this week. Each week we give you three different churches in Macoupin County that, just remember in prayer throughout the week, if you would. This week we have Paradise, Trinity, and Plainview. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day, the opportunity you've given us to come together, Lord, for the opportunity to enjoy fellowship and to hear your word, Father. Lord, we do lift up the churches of our association across this state and across this nation. Lord, we just pray for many salvations to take place, Noah, for your will to be done, Lord. And Father, I also want to lift up to you my son Blake today, Lord, that this is his first opportunity to be doing baptisms today, Lord. We just pray, we just thank you for the growth we've seen in him, and just thank you for the church you've given him to help him to continue his growth and the path you have for him, Father. Now, Lord, we just do want to once again lift up the loss of our community and just pray for your guidance and direction and the opportunities we have to reach them. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, Teresa, for sharing that about looking through this stuff whenever you're a kid. I have a lot of memories like that, too. And that's one thing that always reminds me of Sunday school and all those different things. But think about not feeling equipped enough to be a part of a group of maybe people that have been in church for 60 plus years. And you're like, well, I'm new. Do I really fit in? We're all children of God, and he wants to teach all of us. So don't wait too long to go in and just get to know him on a deeper level. And that's one thing we've been blessed with having these kids sitting up front, and whether they're singing or whatever, we're still trying to pour into them so that whenever they are growing up, they can continue to do that and pour into others as well. So please join me as we continue to worship God as children of God.
Who breaks the power of darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all. all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of Glory, the King of Glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of Glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your good goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship your holy strength is failing. The end draws near and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship your holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship your holy name. Worship your holy name. Lord, I'll worship your holy name.
Please be seated.
Someday, we'll get to stand before him. And all these things, all these visions that we've had of heaven, we clarified for us. And we'll see what heaven really is like, okay? And I'm going to guarantee you this, that it's better than you can imagine, all right? It's better than you can imagine. God's answer for our problem was better than we could imagine. So, we're going to do this. We've been progressing through the Son of David. We finished that up last week. And we're going to turn to the parables of Jesus, okay? The parables of Jesus. And when we do that, we're going to cover some familiar territory, things that I think that you know. We're going to start off with the most, these are not in chronological order, okay? What I'm starting with is the Good Samaritan. Because we all know the Good Samaritan. We've heard that phrase, the Good Samaritan. Matter of fact, and you'll punch that in your search engine, not right now, but later on, you'll find out that there's lots of stories about the parable of the Good Samaritan. You'll also see the Good Samaritan Hospital, and you'll see this, you know, the Good Samaritan goes to a lot of places. There's a definition for it. There is, matter of fact, when I looked it up, there's ways to use the term the Good Samaritan. For those of you who care about how to put things in English sentences, okay? It tells you how to place that in a sentence. So, we've heard it. I think you can tell it. It's in our culture. Now, if you don't know it, that's okay, because today we're going to learn it. And I will tell you this. This is one of those things that I as a pastor, as standing here, I'm preaching them something they already know. So I hope that this isn't the next 35 or 40 hours, minutes, is not the longest of your time, okay? Because what I want to do is walk away with a fresh look at it, reminding us of what we already know, teaching us what we need to know, reminding us of who we need to be. All right, now I'm going to tell you a little story. I got to tell you, because this is my spot, right? I got to tell you a story. He rode off the, and this is about Robert Edison Fulton, okay, Jr., who rode, it's in a book called One Man Caravan. He was in the middle of Turkey someplace at night in 1932, 33, and he rode his motorcycle down this nice concrete bridge that wasn't finished. He rode the motorcycle right off the end of the unfinished bridge. He and his motorcycle got carried to the next town. He landed in a soft, sandy spot, and it wasn't over anything but a dry creek bed. And he landed in the sand, so he and the bike were able to continue on. The only connection that this has to this story that we're doing today is that the people there asked where he'd come from. And when he told them, and I forget the name of the town, but they recognized it, and they said they were amazed he was still alive, because those people are bad. But you see, what I want to do is draw the difference. This is the reason because we all know stories, right? I'm going to ask you this. Has the person next to you told you a story recently? Yeah, okay. Was it good? All right. So, the difference between a story and a parable is this. A parable has a point. A parable has a point. And the parable has power. So when we read through this text in Luke chapter 10, by the way, we're going to be at Luke chapter 10, the 25th verse we're going to start. But when we read through this, we'll see that as Jesus tells the parable, it's not just a story. It's a story oftentimes to answer a question. And what we see today is that he tells the parable, he tells this story, as we might liken it to, he tells that after being asked a series of questions. And the parable in and of itself doesn't necessarily answer the question easily. Blake is getting ready to baptize today. We went over to his ordination service, and they had done it a little bit different than I'd seen before, but they had already given Blake 30-some questions, and honestly, they underestimated the amount of questions they gave to Blake, because one of the questions had four parts, and it was four separate questions, if you ask me. Okay, so Blake stood up there and answered the questions, and some of those, amazingly enough, if you know Blake, he actually said yes, and that was the answer, okay? I mean, it was just he managed to get it into one word. Some of the other questions, well, they were like a newspaper article, okay, on the answer. So when Jesus answers this question, he does it with a parable. He could have answered it a lot quicker, but he chose to use a parable. And do you realize how powerful this parable is? If we're naming hospitals after it, if we have it on the internet to figure out how to use this word in a sentence, this parable that was told over 2,000 years ago had an impact that a story would not have. So let's pick it up here in the 25th verse of Luke chapter 10. And we're going to start out with a lawyer. The 70 have been sent out, the 70 have come back, and they were in this setting where a lawyer stood up, all right? And a lawyer stood up and put him to the test. Notice that the word test, in other words, he's not honestly seeking for an answer. He's just putting him, he's trying to see how Jesus can answer and if he can find fault with it. And a lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall we do to inherit eternal life?" And he said, Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How does it read to you?" So he flips the question back to the lawyer. The Lord answered, and he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbors yourself. And he said to him, Jesus said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Now here's the parable of the Good Samaritan. Jesus replied to him and said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down on that road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion. And he came to him and bandaged. Listen to what he says here in this group of words here. Came to him, bandaged up his wounds. So he apparently took some of his own garments, ripped them up and made bandages out of them, pouring oil, his oil, and wine on him, his wine. He came to him, bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them, and he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, he took two denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? And he said, the one who showed mercy toward him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do the same. Go and do the same. Let's take a look back at what we just went through, what we just covered there. We started with actually two questions, okay? We started with two questions. The first question was, what must I do to inherit eternal life? That is a valid question. That's a good question. That's a question that we ought to ask. That's a question that the people around you ought to be asking, right? This is a question that we want to get to. When we're talking about disaster relief training this next Friday. It's actually Friday and Saturday, but Saturday for the bulk of you would be participating in. And why do we do disaster relief training? Why do we go out and help them after a hurricane, after a tornado, after a fire, after a storm, after an ice storm? What is it? Why do we do that? Well, they need help, right? I mean, that's what this is about, right? Learning to help people out in need. When we see them, we go out and help in need. The real reason that we do this is not just so we can get a chainsaw out, not so we can pull a shower trailer around, not so we can feed people. It's so that we get the opportunity to share with them the gospel message. Without that, then disaster relief would just be a good work. And what we need is more than good works. And so when we go out, when disaster relief goes out, they want to get to that place where they can talk with the homeowner, the person affected by what's going on, this disaster, and say, hey, we're here because we love Jesus, and Jesus loves you. And Jesus, matter of fact, do you know that he died on the cross that you might have eternal life? That's what we want to get at. So that's an important thing. When we skim through this and we get to the Good Samaritan, we need to be reminded how it started out. I mean, that's a question I have for you today. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Because what you need to know is how to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Not necessarily how to treat your neighbor. That's going to become part of who you need to be. But first of all, you need to know him. You need to know him. And that's what that question's about. How do I have eternal life? And then after Jesus flipped it, right? What do you think the law says? And what the lawyer said, love God, the great commandment. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That covers the commandments, right? That's what this is about. That's what accepting Jesus is about. Because God We were in a tour bus. I felt pretty safe from robbers in the tour bus. I don't know why this guy didn't use a tour bus. They weren't around. And I will tell you that they tell me that the road was not a good road, that it went through the mountains as you're going, because Jerusalem sits up and Jericho sits down as we're going down to the Dead Sea, and it wasn't a pleasant road to travel. I will tell you that the road that we traveled wasn't all that scenic. You know, it's to get to whatever on the other end, because in the middle, there's not a lot there. And so on this road, so they got to identify with this road. Now, if I told you a story about an unsafe place, I could refer to, and you would identify with that. That's what's going on here. If I were to tell you about something that happened in North St. Louis, I'll share this story. We had a vendor come in to go out and visit customers with us when I worked back in St. Louis. And there was some kind of accident on Interstate 70. And he was out staying out by the airport. Of all places, he was staying out by the airport. And so I said, here's what you can do. You can go sit in traffic, or you can work your way up to the Rock Road and work your way out to your hotel on the Rock Road. You're going to go through a bunch of stoplights and all that. He came back the next day and he goes, everything was a Chinese restaurant or a hubcap store. Now, if I were to tell you that he got robbed on that road, you'd relate. If you've been on that road, you'd understand. Lock your door kind of thing. We've shared those stories, right? We've heard those stories about when you get to this place, lock your doors. So we can identify with it. These people that Jesus, in this time, he's telling the story to, they know the dangers of traveling on that road. I suspect that they've been told not to travel it at night. I suspect that they've been told not to travel it alone. But nevertheless, they've been told about the dangers. And so when Jesus tells a story, they can identify with the road. They've probably been on it. If not been on it, they've heard about it. Maybe they've avoided it because of what they've heard about it. But they can identify with that story. And when he says that a man got beat up and robbed by the robbers on the road, they're going, yeah, that's why you don't go on that road. I mean, that's a connection point. So he connected with them at a point that they understood. And then he takes the story from there. So they can identify with it. And we've got this man on the side of the road, and he's been beat up by robbers. No surprise. Then he begins to tell us about the three encounters that this man has while he's laying on the side of the road. The first guy by is a priest. Okay, the first guy by is a priest. And it says he passed by on the other side. This priest treated him like we treat skunks. Okay, when you see a skunk on the road, what do? You get to the other side, right? I don't care if it's dead, you move to the other side. The priest looks at the guy on the road and he moves to the other side. Now, I've heard this before, you've heard this before. The priest couldn't touch him because then that would get him undefiled. He was going down, which means he was going away from the temple. It wasn't like he was going to do service in the temple. He was going back home. If he'd done service, he'd already completed that. So he goes by on the other side. Is he without excuse or is he with excuse? He's made an excuse, hasn't he? When we see somebody in need and we don't stop, what have we done? We've excused ourselves, right? We can justify why we passed by on the other side. If you were to interview the man after Jesus tells the story, why did you pass by on the other side? He would be able to justify exactly why he did that. Then we follow that up with the priest walks by on the other side. Then we follow it up with a Levite. He also served in the temple. He also comes by likewise. So the Levite passed by on the other side, and he was probably going down. Flip that slide there. He's probably going down down away from the temple too, having completed the service. This started out with a conversation about eternal life. And Jesus said to the lawyer, what does the law say? And then the answer comes from the law. The answer comes from the law. Who in Israel knew the law the best? The priest and the Levite. That was your job. It was their job. I mean, they were supposed to know it because they were teachers of the law. They were participating in the things going on in the temple. But yet, it's these people, if we're talking about loving God, should know how to do that. If we're talking about loving your neighbor as yourself, who's best equipped to do that? Well, of course, the priest and the Levite are best equipped to do that. One other point I want to make before we turn to the third encounter is that the man on the side of the road, because he's not been mentioned otherwise, is a Jewish man. That's where the next one takes the surprise turn. And this is what I loved about when you dive in and read about the parables. There's always that surprise. You watch TV shows and you go, I know what's going to happen at the end, but you still sit there and watch because you got popcorn. I mean, you're watching your series on TV, and you know that the key players have got to make it through the episode because it's on next week. You just know that. It doesn't matter how dangerous of situation MacGyver's got himself into, for those of you who are old enough to remember, he's going to get himself out of, right? It's just the way it works. And so there's not really a surprise. But in the parables that Jesus tells, there's a twist or a surprise to get your attention and then to have you think about it. What he's doing is he's planting something in there that you're going to walk away. You're going to go, I've got it. But you're going to still be caused to think about what he just said because of the way that he told it and the details that he brought into it and that surprise ending to it. So the guy's laying on the side of the road. The priest walks by. The Levite walks by. He's still on the side of the road in need of medical attention. Things are not good. The robbers have left him on the side of the road, and they don't care what happens to him. They beat him till they got what they wanted, and then they left him. Then the Samaritan comes by. Now, what's significant about the Samaritan? The Samaritan and the Jews didn't like one another. They looked down their nose at one another. They didn't deal with one another. When we read through the Gospels, those encounters with the Samaritan woman at the well, this story that Jesus tells, when the woman comes and wants, you know, why would I give the bread to the dogs? We read about the Canaanite woman, the Samaritan. You see, there's not a good feeling between the two of them. There's no Cub Cardinal rivalry where we'll still be friends. We're not friends. Okay, there's a hostility between the two. And so as Jesus tells the story about this Jewish man on the side of the road who has a need, and he tells us about the priest and the Levite that walk by on the other side, when Jesus said, and a Samaritan comes along, in their heads, what were they thinking? When the Jewish people that were gathered around with the lawyer listening to this answer that Jesus is giving, they're going, oh, the Samaritan probably went over there and saw if there was anything left to take. Right? The Samaritan probably went over there and kicked the Jewish guy or spit on him. That's what's going on in their head because it can't be a good thing. But Jesus tells the people that are listening here, this Jewish audience, about a Jewish man on the side of the road that the Jewish priest and the Jewish Levite has walked past. He says, the Samaritan felt compassion. He saw the man down, and it didn't matter that he was a Jew at this point. He was a man who had a need. So he stops, and he takes off his cloth, and he bandages it on. We don't know exactly what needed bandaged up. That's not the detail. He needed medical attention, and this guy did it. He used oil. He used wine. It was the things that he had with him to take care of the need that he had. Then he puts him on his animal and proceeds to carry him to an inn. And at the inn, He realized, guys got no money, right? Because they took everything. He took care of them that night in the inn, and then he knew he wasn't well enough to go on. That speaks to the damage that was done to him, the damage that was inflicted upon him by the robbers. And he leaves money with the innkeeper and says, I'll be back, because apparently he's traveling through, and I'll be back. Whatever else you need, just keep it on a tab, and I'll be back. And that's how the story ends. The story ends with the guy who's been beaten up, now in an inn, recovering from the wounds that have been inflicted upon him, the damage done to him by the robbers, the Samaritan going on his way, and the priest and the Levite doing whatever the priest and Levite continue to do. Then Jesus asked this question. I want you to think about this. He asked this question. What was the beginning question? Think about that for a moment. Here's the question that Jesus asked the lawyer. Which one of these three proved to be the neighbor? You see, Jesus never actually gave the answer, yes or no, right? This guy or that guy. When the man asked, Jesus said, what does the law say? He made him answer. When the lawyer then asks another question, he tells a story, and then he turns it back, and he says to him, what's the answer? What's the answer to the question? Which one of these three proved to be the neighbor? Well, it was the Samaritan, the guy who stopped and helped the guy that was in need. That's the answer to the question that's flipped back to him. And what's interesting about this, and I want you to think about it, and I don't know that I have an answer for it, but it is the idea that Jesus, the question was, who is my neighbor? And it doesn't say that the answer to the question, which one of these proved to be my neighbor, was not the guy who was in need. It was the guy who stopped and helped. Because the original question would be, the answer to the original question, who is my neighbor, would be the guy who was in need. But Jesus flipped that around. And when he asked the question after telling this story, this parable as we see it, when he gets done telling that story, there's a point to it. He's not just telling a story to get a laugh or to get your attention. He's telling a story to answer a question, that parable. And in this parable, Rather than say it's the guy who was in need, he said, which one of these three, and he gave the choice, the priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan, proved to be the neighbor. It was the Samaritan. And so, what do we do with that? What do we do with that? What's this guy supposed to do that? He told him, when he said, he gave the great commandment as the answer to what I must do to inherit eternal life, Jesus said, go and do it. And so when he answers, the Samaritan is the proper answer to the question, what does Jesus tell him to do? These are my words. Be that guy. Okay? Be that guy like the Samaritan who saw somebody in need. That's what it means to love your neighbor. It means to love your neighbor regardless of his race, regardless of how he got himself there. Because you could walk by on the other side, you deserve that. Coming down here by yourself, carrying all your bling on the outside, leaving your phone out in the car, you deserve that. When we look at this parable, as we talk about being that guy, who illustrated this beyond even this parable? It was Jesus himself. He gave of everything he had to meet a need that you had, that I had. You see, when I got done looking at that parable, we're going to come back to its context there. But I want you to think about when we sing that song, those songs, we're not there unless Jesus meets our needs. We're not there unless He goes to the cross for us. We're not there if He doesn't walk out of the grave. You might like to think that you were doing well before Jesus, but you were in worse shape than the Jewish guy left for dead on the side of the road. Because honestly, you were dead in your sins. I was too. So when Jesus tells the parable, He becomes the complete example of what it means to love you. Now, He loved you and I before we loved Him. He loves people around the globe on this earth who do everything they can to put Christianity out of business, who work as the enemy of the church. Yet He died on the cross for them. So when we walk out of this place today, having heard the story of the Good Samaritan, maybe for the first time, maybe for the 1400th time, what are we going to do with what we see? What are we going to do with what we see? The action step. The action step is simply exactly the same thing that Jesus told to this guy. Be that guy. You read the story. You'll chew on this story. You may dismiss the story because you've heard it a bunch of times. But I want you to know that God will place somebody in your life that it will stretch you to love them. And that's what the Samaritan did. And that's what Jesus did for you and I. And how are we going to respond? Are we going to respond by walking by on the other side full of excuses and justification? Or will we put that aside and be what Jesus has called us to be? And to be that guy that shows the love of Christ to those around us. We're going to stand. We're going to give you an opportunity to respond. Maybe it is that you want to pray for somebody that's in need. Maybe it is that you want to pray for somebody that's rejected Jesus. Maybe you want to pray for somebody that you held up as an enemy. And you want to pray to God, how do I love that person? We all have people that frustrate us. How do I love that person? Maybe you come today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I'd invite you to make that commitment today, to follow through with baptism, to let everybody know that you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let's stand.
Your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty, for my soul longs and even faints for you. For here my heart is satisfied within your presence. I sing beneath the shadow of your wings. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere, thousands elsewhere. One thing I ask and I will seek, to see your beauty, to find you in the place your glory dwells. thing I ask and I would seek to see your beauty, to find you in the place your glory dwells. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts and thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts and thousands elsewhere, and thousands elsewhere.
Father, thank you for this day. Father, thank you for this story, whether familiar or new to us, Lord. Father, help us to live it out. Father, help us to understand it deeper than we did before. Father, I pray that as we go out of here today, that we would be a light to the people that we come in contact with. Father, that we would seek that opportunity to share the gospel message with them, to share what it means to have eternal life, to share the hope that we have. Father, just pray for the events of this week, Lord, from the Wednesday night showing of The Chosen to the disaster relief that will affect not only our church, but churches beyond our walls and, Father, communities, even beyond our state. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. So a couple things. Here's the Have You Reads for this week. And if you've got the newsletter, the last one's not on there. So my fault, I didn't have it on there, so it's Matthew 1 and 2. We'll start reading through the book, the Gospel of Matthew. I apologize for the change on the church council meeting. Okay, that was one of those. In my head, sometimes we can get things done faster. There's a couple things that didn't happen that needed to happen before that, so we'll get those taken care of. We'll meet again, so sorry for the inconvenience. If you had your heart set on sitting in my office for a meeting, we'll do that next week, okay? And ladies, the deacons' wives, if you'll just go back there and take the time that you need to make the decision about whatever it is, okay? So y'all happy to be here today? Amen. Amen. So say hi to somebody around you before you walk out. Thank you.